is America's game. Now, stop humming, it's everything done changed. That warp tool make you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Cause my intros always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to America's Game, episode number 71. I'm your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL, and you can also follow the show at America's Game Pod as well on Twitter. So I would appreciate it if you guys would give a follow to those, at South Harmon FF on Twitter and YouTube as well. Give a follow there. A lot of live content that happens on the YouTube. Sunday Start Sit Show. Got a couple of videos that post on there every single week. You got the Cook Up. You got Fizzle Fridays on there as well on the YouTube. So, yeah, good stuff going on all around on all the platforms for South Harmon. Make sure you guys give them a follow and check the stuff out. It is week 14. We are past the Thanksgiving Day week. Speaking of Thanksgiving, hopefully everybody had a really good Thanksgiving. Hopefully with your friends and family, you had a really good time, got some Black Friday shopping done, all that good stuff. So hopefully everybody had a really good time. But now it's crunch time for us here in the fantasy world. It is week 14. Some people start their playoffs this week. Next week is, I would say for the majority of fantasy players, weeks 15 to 17 are the fantasy playoffs. So if you are in the playoffs already, congratulations. If you need this week to go ahead and make the playoffs, let's get it. You know, I'm going to try and help you out here a little bit today. You know, it's a big week. This is probably one of the biggest weeks of the fantasy season for everybody, just because there's so much on the line. Either to get into the playoffs, if you could get the first round bye, that's huge. Just so much stuff going on here for the fantasy playoffs. So, yeah, hopefully you're still in contention, and even if you're not in contention, like, you can still make some moves for your team. You know, some leagues don't have a trade deadline. Some leagues have a trade deadline. Usually, I think on mine, I try and keep them right up until the game starts for this week 14 week. So if you have your trade deadlines, you can still make some moves. If you got some older aging assets that are playing really good ball right now, now's the time to move them. Like, you know, even if you're not getting what you want, you might have to settle for a little bit less. Like, when you get to the offseason, like the Keenan Allens, the Adam Thielens, nobody wants those guys. You just have to kind of accept the reality that nobody's going to buy those guys from you. So right now, while they're performing on an NFL field, Keenan Allen's has like two or three good games in a row here. Adam Thielen just had a solid game. You know, older, you know, players like that, this is the time to sell them. Even if you have to sell for like a third, like, you get something for them. So that's something you're going to have to kind of manage here for the rest of the time. We had some injuries this week too, unfortunately. Like, Christian McCaffrey's done for the year. Jordan Mason got hurt. He's not going to be in there. So Isaac Arendo is going to step up here and be the starting running back for the 49ers the rest of the season. We'll see what he can do. A lot of players that can step up and make some plays here this week. So we also have six teams on bye this week. So that really sucks. We have the Baltimore Ravens, the Houston Texans, the New England Patriots, Denver Broncos, Indianapolis Colts, Washington Commanders. You know, going into the season, Lamar Jackson, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Jaden Daniels, that's probably a lot of people's quarterback ones gone this week just for buys. I hate that the NFL does these week 14 buys when week 13 we had every single team play. Can't split it up. We had another week during the season. I think it was week 8. Yeah, I believe it was week 8. Every team was playing. Like, the NFL's got to fix this shit, because this is stupid. Like, no team should have to play 13 straight weeks and then get their bye in week 14. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. It would have made a lot more sense to give them their week 8 bye, like halfway through the season. So, I don't know. The NFL schedule makers and all that, they need to fix this shit, because it really is bullshit for fantasy and just for the players in general. Like, I couldn't imagine playing 13 straight weeks and have no bye. You know, that's crazy. So, hopefully they fix that shit. But first here, I want to go over kind of some of the stuff that I want to do for my fantasy rosters going into the season. I did a little bit of it this morning, but especially this mainly pertains to best ball teams. I would say your lineup leagues are probably pretty much set. I mean, you can make a few moves on lineup. I would say for lineup leagues, some of the things I do look for are defenses, kind of strategize out my defense for the next 3 weeks. If I have an open roster spot, I don't mind carrying two, sometimes three defenses if I'm getting an elite matchup, if I'm getting, you know, somebody that plays the Jaguars or the Titans or the Raiders or the Giants, you know, whoever. So kind of just looking at that, like week 15 for your fantasy playoffs, if somebody drops the Ravens, like they probably dropped them this week, and you have an open roster spot, pick up the Ravens. They play the Giants next week. That's a smash matchup there for the Ravens. If you look at other 15 matchups, Jags and Jets play. You know, either one of those defenses can be viable for a week. Let's see, some other defenses that stand out to me. Trying to pick some defenses here that aren't really owned. Saints and Commanders, I could see one of those defenses being good. Bengals and Titans in week 15, I could see one of those defenses being something special. Arizona at home against New England in week 15. So those are a couple of matchups there that you could kind of look up. So let's look at week 16 real quick too. Just see some matchups that stand out to here. Giants and Falcons. Falcons are at home. I could see the Falcons being a solid defense to pick up. Rams and Jets. I could see the Rams being a decent one. Titans, Colts. That could be either one of those teams could be a good one. Bengals and Browns, like we've seen what Jameis Winston can do. He throws a lot of interceptions too, so that could be one. Arizona against Carolina, that could be a good defense. How about this? Raiders and Jags in week 16 in Las Vegas. I could see the Raiders being a really good one at home. Get Max Crosby on there. I could think that could be a really good one. Buccaneers and Cowboys, if Tampa's out there, I could see Tampa being a decent one for you in week 16. And then let's look at the fantasy playoffs, too, for week 17, your Super Bowl. Oh, let's see. Bears against Seahawks, that could be okay. Broncos, Bengals, Rams and Cardinals, about the same. Chargers defense, if they're out there, they got to play the Patriots. Colts defense plays the Giants. I like that one. Falcons and Commanders play. Jets and Bills. Titans, Jaguars. So either one of those teams again. Miami and Cleveland. Could see that. Tampa Bay at home against Carolina. The Saints at home against the Raiders. I really like that one. So Saints, seems like the Saints I've mentioned a couple times. Those could be a pretty decent option for you here in the fantasy playoffs if you can get a hold of that defense. So definitely look forward to that. And then the other one I want to mention is kickers. If you play with kickers in your redraft league, try and get your kickers in domes if you can, unless they are just absolutely like elite kickers. You know, like a Chris Boswell has been absolutely elite this year. I know a couple of the indoor kickers are on bye this week. Like Fairbairn is on bye. Will Lutz, outside kicker, he's been doing pretty good. He's on bye. Justin Tucker, obviously, he's on bye. But kind of look for your team's the kicker that you're going to be picking up to be in a dome. I know some of the ones I picked up were Evan McPherson, Parker Romo for the Vikings this week, Chad Ryland I really like for Arizona. There was a couple other ones that I was looking at for this week. I like Groupy, but he's outside against the Giants, so I don't trust that. Let's see, Younghoe Koo and Parker Romo play each other this week. You got Boswell against the Browns. I always like that one. Chase McLaughlin against the Raiders. I like that. I like Nick Folk at home against the Jags. I can see that being a lot of field goals. Chad Ryland, I mentioned. I really like him against the Seahawks at home. That's a dome game. Let's see. Cowboys and Bengals play on Monday night. So if Evan McPherson happens to be out there, that's one I like. Both Lions and Packers kickers are indoors on Thursday night. I could see that one being a good one. Jason Sanders versus the Jets on Sunday, 1 o'clock game in Miami. Love Jason Sanders this week too. So that gives you some kickers. Kickers, there's so many of them, and they're just like a dime a dozen, most of them. Like, there's a couple really good ones, but mostly you can stream your kickers. So if you have to drop like a Fairbairn this week, I don't mind it. Will Lutz, if you have to drop him, if you have to drop Tucker, like Tucker hasn't been like a force this year, you know, so it's okay to drop these guys and maybe try and pick them up back for next week if you want them, but it's okay to drop your kicker. But yeah, kind of point out your kickers too. But that's probably one that you don't have to like carry two if you want to, and you have the extra spot or your league allows for more roster spots. I think that's okay too. So, looking at the matchups for this week, so kind of go through each one and give my thoughts so far. I think Packers and Lions, I think that could be a really good game this week. Obviously, you know, two teams fighting for a division lead. And you look at some of the spreads for this week too. So that Lions and Packers game, 3.5 points. So that's going to be a pretty good game this week. We remember what Green Bay did to them last year in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. Jordan Love had one of his best games. So I kind of am, you know, with this so many teams on bye, I'm okay throwing Christian Watson out there. Romeo Doubs, we'll see if he comes back from his concussion, but I think I would trust Jaden Reed and Christian Watson before I trusted Romeo Doubs. Tucker Kraft, I think, could be a really interesting one this week too. The Lions just lost another linebacker, Malcolm Rodriguez, out for the season now too, along with Alex Anzalone. So I think the Lions could have a little bit of a linebacker problem. So Tucker Kraft is one guy that I am looking at as well. Lions side of the ball, you're playing your same guys. You're playing every single Lion who's gotten you some points this year. J-Mo, I think he's probably, you know, on the wide receiver 3 radar this week. He might not have another choice, but don't really love J-Mo this week. Jets and the Dolphins, that's a 6.5 point game with the Dolphins being the favorite right now. The way the Dolphins have been playing has been really good. The Jets started off good last week, and I kind of mentioned it in the Savage chat, like, are we waiting for the Jets to jet? And the Jets did indeed jet. Could we see Tyrod Taylor at some point? I mean, there's so much smoke now about Tyrod Taylor playing and stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if that happens. So I do like the Dolphins this week. I'm going to go ahead. You're playing your Tua. You're playing A-Chain. You're playing Tyreek Hill. I got some Waddle I've put in. Jonnu Smith has been one of the hottest tight ends in the league. You got to play Jonnu Smith this week. So, you're playing all your Dolphins. Jets, I think you got to play Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams. You're playing those guys. Aaron Rodgers, I've had to throw him in because I've had like an Anthony Richardson or Lamar on bye or something. So I've thrown some Aaron Rodgers in this week, but I don't really love it, but there's not really better options out there either. Let's take a look here at the Falcons and the Vikings now. So that is going to be a 5.5 point game currently, with the Vikings at home getting 5.5. Vikings are still 10-2, really good. They're, you know, if the Packers go and win this week, they go to 10-3. The Vikings would be 11-2 if they win, and the Lions would be 11-2. So really, really tough fighting there in the NFC North. So the Vikings really need this win to kind of keep pace and have a possible shot at a first seed there in the NFC. Falcons, you have obviously Kirk Cousins coming back. So, you know, looking at the Falcons side of the ball, Kirk Cousins should know the Flores offense or defense a little bit. He played, you know, practice against it all last year. So I think he has a little bit of an advantage there. I think the Vikings defense is a little better than what it was last year too. So we'll see how that affects Kirk Cousins. But I think Cousins should have a little bit of an idea of what Flores' defense is going to bring. Obviously, you're playing Bijan. You're playing Drake London. Darnell Mooney, I think with the amount of buys, you're playing Darnell Mooney. Kyle Pitts, that is one that I have struggled with. If you look at his stats the last like 2 or 3 weeks, they have been abysmal. And his he's only playing on passing downs. They take him out on running downs and bring in I forget the guy, Charlie Warner as the backup. He plays a lot and goes in there and blocks for the Falcons. So that is one that I'm really in the flipping a coin over. I'm starting Noah Gray over Kyle Pitts, so if that tells you anything. Viking side of the ball, I think Darnold is definitely a good play with the amount of quarterbacks on bye. You're playing Jefferson. You're playing Aaron Jones. Jordan Addison, I think, is a solid play this week. Hawkinson's a top five tight end. You got to play him, too. So that's kind of what I'm looking at there with the Falcons and Vikings. Saints and Giants. I really like the Saints this week. But the Saints could also go in there and just completely melt down, too, at any point on the road. But Derek Carr, I like this week if you have to stream a quarterback. Alvin Kamara is the heart and soul of that team right now. They're a 3.5 favorite on the road is the Saints. So that shows you what Vegas is thinking about the Saints right now. But, yeah, they lost Taysom Hill. That sucks. Wide receiver-wise, I mean, it's just a mismatch of pieces there for the Saints. Jawan Johnson, I think, could get a little bit more run this week. Foster Moreau, too. So if you're really struggling at tight ends, I think any of those guys could be fine. But I think it's going to be a shit ton of Alvin Kamara this week. Giants, not sure who's starting at quarterback this week. I would guess is DeVito. Haven't heard that definitively. Running backs, I mean, Tyrone Tracy. He had the touchdown last week against Dallas on Thanksgiving, but if you look at his stats, they just haven't been very good. They haven't been throwing him the ball. Devin Singletary has gotten in there more recently, too, so I think Tyrone Tracy's like a flex play at best. Wide receivers, you're playing Neighbors, obviously. Wandale's been Theo Johnson just went on IR, so the Giants are kind of screwed there at tight end. But Wandale, I think, probably somebody you have to play this week if you're hurting at wide receiver. Let's go ahead. Let's look at the Eagles and the Panthers. So the Eagles are 12.5 point favorites at home right now. Obviously Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, Saquon Barkley, Devontae Smith, if he plays, you're playing all those guys. Dallas Goedert is probably out for the entire rest of the fantasy playoffs. So Grant Calcaterra is going to be the guy there for the Eagles. So I would be comfortable starting him if you need a starting tight end. He's done pretty good when Goddard hasn't been there, and I could see Calcaterra continuing that. Panthers side of the ball, Bryce Young. I'm not going to play him against the Eagles defense on the road. That's probably one of my weaker plays of the week would be Bryce Young. Chuba Hubbard hasn't been at great lately. I've kind of benched him in a few spots where I had to this week. Against the Eagles defense on the road, I just don't like Chuba's perspectives this week. Adam Thielen, David Moore, and Xavier Leggett. I don't mind those guys. I would say Leggett probably the least of the two, but I think two savvy veterans like Thielen and David Moore know how to get open. So if he is going to have any success this week, I think it's going to be through those two guys. Then tight end, you got to kind of watch out for Jatavion Sanders if he's going to play or not. If not, Tommy Tremble was really, really good last week for them, probably his career game. So maybe Tommy Tremble is on the rise here. Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Cleveland is a 6.5 underdog at Pittsburgh. You know, we've seen this team play a couple weeks ago. The Browns did get the best of the Steelers on Thursday night. I think in Pittsburgh it's going to be a little bit of a different story. I like Russell Wilson this week if you have to play a quarterback. He did throw for 270 in that snowstorm against Cleveland, so you know he can throw on these guys. He just came off a really big game against Cincinnati. Russell Wilson is absolutely on fire right now, so Russell Wilson definitely is in my starting lineups. Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, I feel comfortable with those guys. Even though Najee didn't have the greatest game against Cleveland, I still think he's in for a good spot. George Pickens, you're playing every week. You can't trust any of the receivers on Pittsburgh. And then the tight end position, Freiermuth's actually two weeks in a row, he's done really well. So I like Freiermuth a little bit this week too. Cleveland side, Jameis just threw for almost 500 yards. I think you got to still roll with Jameis. Chubb and Jerome Ford, I'm not crazy about playing, but if you have to, I understand with all the buys. Wide receivers, though, we have to see if Cedric Tillman comes back. If he comes back, I mean, Elijah Moore, Jerry Judy has probably been one of the hottest players in the league. I think you got to play Jerry Judy. So I think Tillman could take a little bit of a step back. And then Njoku has been awesome, too. You got to play him. He's a top, you know, six tight end right now in the NFL. Next game up is the Raiders and the Bucks. That's a Tampa Bay is 6.5-point favorites at home right now. And, you know, I'm playing Baker where I got him. He hasn't been, like, lighting up the scoreboard like he was early in the year, but I think this is a good spot at home against the Raiders, throwing to Mike Evans and throwing to Kate Otten and these guys. I do like Baker Mayfield a little bit this week. Bucky Irving, you got to play. Rashad White's probably a good flex play this week, too. And then Mike Evans, auto start. None of the other Bucks receivers, though, I'm too in love with. Kate Otten hasn't been great since Mike Evans has come back either, so maybe push the brakes a little bit on Otten, but I understand if you have nobody else, too, you got to have to probably play him. Raiders, man, I think I have a league or two where I got Lamar and a buy a super flex. I got to play Aiden O'Connell this week, and I'm okay with it. Like, the way to beat Tampa Bay is to throw the ball on them. And, you know, last week against Kansas City, I mean, Aiden O'Connell had a hell of a game against the Chiefs. So I think Aiden O'Connell should be in a decent spot here. Running backs, we kind of have to wait and see who's going to even be healthy. But, I mean, Sincere McCormick had 60 yards last week. I don't think they've seen 60 yards in quite a while there. So you got to watch and see if McCormick plays this week. If he's the starter, does Zamir White and Madison, do they even play? We'll have to see on that. I think Jacoby Myers, auto start. Brock Bowers, auto start. I think Trey Tucker is somebody you can think about too, with DJ Turner going on the IR this week for the Raiders. I think Trey Tucker could be in line for having a good game this week too. Jags and Titans. So Titans are 3.5 favorites at home, giving the Jags 3.5. So Will Levis, not somebody I want to play this week, but I think he could be pretty decent. Running backs, I still like Pollard this week. Wide receivers, you got to like Calvin Ridley. Best ball Akine, as we like to call him. I mean, this guy has been scoring a touchdown every single week, and I think it continues again this week. So Nick Westbrook Akine, I'm going to fire up this week too. Chigakonkwo hasn't been very good this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if Chigakonkwo has a decent game this week too. Jags, we have to see if Trevor Lawrence or Mac Jones is going to play. I don't think Trevor Lawrence practiced on Wednesday, but if it's Mac Jones, it's not as pretty. I think Etienne and Bigsby could be decent plays for you this week. Brian Thomas Jr. should be solid. Evan Ingram, Parker Washington had a hell of a week, so I think you got to consider starting those guys too. Let's take a look at Arizona and Seattle. So Arizona is 2.5-point favorites at home currently. So I like Kyler Murray this week. James Conner, I'm definitely going to play. Marvin Harrison Jr., Trey McBride, playing those guys. They've been starting to move Michael Wilson into the slot and Zay Jones as the other outside receiver. So look for that to continue. I think best ball, Zay Jones is definitely a pickup this week. Seattle, Geno Smith, I've had to start him in a handful of leagues this week just because of the buys. I think Geno is a great bye week quarterback this week. I think they should be able to throw a little bit there on Arizona. So DK, JSN should be solid plays for you. Ken Walker, you're playing. Tyler Lockett has been very disappointing over the last month or so. Honestly, kind of the whole season, Tyler Lockett has been disappointing. So I don't think he's a must start, but understand if you have to. Rams and Bills, another really good game this coming week. Let's take a look and see what the line is currently on that one. And the Rams are 4.5 underdogs at home. So Josh Allen, you're playing. He's a super stud. You're playing James Cook. Wide receivers, though, I don't know who the hell you play other than like Khalil Shakir. I'm playing him. Keon Coleman is probably going to come back this week, but can you trust him after a couple weeks off? Amari Cooper, that guy, I can't really trust him. Like, I don't trust any of those guys. And we have to see if Dalton Kincaid even plays, or is it going to be Dawson Knox again? But we'll see what happens there with Buffalo. Rams, you know, Stafford, you're playing. Cooper, you're playing. Puka you're playing, Kyron you're playing. I'm not really playing too many else on the Rams. I'm sorry. And then the Bears and 49ers, next one up. Bears are 3.5 underdogs on the road. And I could see this being an interesting game with all the injuries of the 49ers. Caleb's been playing a lot better lately, so I could see Caleb having a big game. DeAndre Swift against the 49ers, I don't really love that one, but understand if you got to flex him. Wide receivers, Keenan Allen's been great. DJ Moore's been great. Romo Dunze's been up and down. Cole Kmet up and down. So I think if you're going to play any of the Bears receivers, it's going to be DJ Moore and Keenan Allen for me. 49ers, Brock Purdy. I think he's still got to play Purdy. He still has Jennings to throw to and Kittle to throw to. He's got Garendo. He's got Debo. So he's got some options. Garendo's taking over the job. I'm very curious to see what happens there. Like, Isaac Garendo could be a league winner for us this year. So hopefully you spent all your fab on him this week if he was available. Used your number one waiver claim. I think Garendo is going to be worth it. Debo and Jennings, I'm probably playing those guys with the amount of guys on bye. Kittle, you're playing too. Let's take a look at now the Chargers and the Chiefs. So that is going to be a Sunday night game, which should be a really good one with the Chiefs and the Chargers right now. And the Chiefs are 3.5 favorites at home right now, so that'll be interesting. Chiefs, obviously you're playing Mahomes, you're playing Pacheco, probably you're probably playing Kelce. Wide receiver wise, I think you got to play Hopkins, but none of the other receivers I trust. I'm playing some Noah Gray this week in spots where I really need a tight end. And then Chargers, man, it sounds like McConkey's not going to play this week, so I think Herbert is an interesting one. I mean, he's been playing so good lately, I think you got to play him, but if you have a better option, I think it's worth considering. Running backs, you're probably going to have Gus Edwards and Kamani Vidal as the two main guys there. Do I want to start either of them? No. Probably flex plays at best. Receivers, without McConkey, Quentin Johnson's going to have to step up. I think Darius Davis in best ball leagues could be somebody who steps up. Jim Harbaugh talked about DJ Chark and basically just said he was there and practicing. That was it. Like, it didn't sound very good about DJ Chark at all. Josh Palmer, I think, is definitely worth a play too. And Will Disley, the Chiefs are really bad against tight ends. So Will Disley, definitely somebody I want to play this week. And finally, 5.5 point favorites on the road are the Bengals and the Cowboys. Burrow, you're playing. Chase, you're playing. T. Higgins, you're playing. Chase Brown, you're playing. You know, that's probably it. I mean, you could throw Gesicki in there. He had an okay game if you need a tight end. And then Dallas, Cooper Rush. I could see Cooper Rush having a good game. Like, the Bengals have given up a shit ton passing lately. So I could see that having a good game. CD having a good game. Brandon Cooks could maybe be somebody who sneaks in there. Tolbert, whichever tight end starts, either Ferguson or Shoemaker. Rico Dowdle, I think, has a decent game. So I think that Monday night game could be a little bit of a high-scoring game with two subpar defenses there. So there's some highlights for you this week for your some of the guys that I'm thinking about starting. I mentioned some best ball guys in there. Another thing I wanted to mention for best ball, you know, if you have dead weight on your roster, if you're carrying A.J. Dillon, Jelani Woods, some of these guys that have been out all year that really just don't have any value, drop them. You know, pick up somebody this week that's going to actually play, because you just never know. I mentioned Darius Davis for the Chargers with McConkey out. If Darius Davis has a game this week, man, he could advance you. Like, you want to be taking a couple of flyers on some of these guys, on guys who are going to play. You might have, like, Chris Rodriguez on your bench. You might have Ashton Doolin on your bench. You might have Kayshon Boutte. You might have some of these guys that, yeah, they're okay to be owned. Nelson Aguilar is another one that comes to mind. You might have some of these guys, like, drop them. Pick up somebody that's going to play this week, especially if you're right on the edge and you need as many points as you can get. So make sure you're managing your roster properly. Another one that I've done today was drop some of my backup quarterbacks. Like, yeah, they could end up starting and bite me in the ass, but I think I'd rather take some of the points now and going forward Like I dropped Andy Dalton, a Mason Rudolph, a Tyson Bagnett, like players like that. I'm okay dropping them because I don't think they're going to play anymore this season, barring an injury. Now, if Bryce Young goes out and gets injured this week, then yeah, I'm stupid and I dropped Andy Dalton and I'm going to have to fight for him on the waivers. It sucks. It happens. It's just bad luck. But I want as many players on my roster right now as I possibly can that could has a potential of scoring some points this week. Because like I said, all it takes is one touchdown, one Darius Davis touchdown, one Devin Duvernay touchdown, one Trey Tucker touchdown, one Foster Moreau touchdown, one Tommy Tremble touchdown, one Zay Jones touchdown, one Jalen Tolbert touchdown. That's all it takes for you to advance in your league this week and just to have enough points to advance, especially in best ball leagues I'm talking. So best ball rosters, make sure you're managing those rosters really good this week. Get some of that dead weight off your team that you don't need, some of the guys that are on bye that are just guys, and make sure you manage that roster properly. Next up, though, I want to talk about is some draft news. So this is the time where you're going to start getting some declarations as well from the underclassmen. Two so far that have come out are Luther Burden III, wide receiver from Missouri, projected to be a first-round pick. He's declared, so that's good. And then the other one that declared was Caleb Johnson, the running back from Iowa. And we're actually going to get into him in a little bit here, but he declared from Iowa, and it sounds like a lot of people in the NFL are big on Caleb Johnson. We've been talking about him on this program pretty much all season since he's been tearing it up. So I'm loving seeing some Caleb Johnson come out as well. That's it for the declaration so far. Obviously, we're going to get a lot more here in the coming weeks before bowl games and all that stuff, and people might not play. But, yeah, really exciting news there. And I want to kind of go over some of the mock drafts that have been out there. So the big one that dropped today was Dane Brugler of The Athletic, one of the guys that I absolutely trust and follow, came out with his mock draft. So I kind of want to go over some of the players and the landing spots. So his first player, Jacksonville Jaguars, he had selecting Travis Hunter, the wide receiver slash corner from Colorado. He said, at this point in the process, Hunter is the only 2025 prospect considered by scouts to be a surefire top five pick. There are a lot of differing opinions about Hunter's ability to be a two-way player in the NFL, but everyone agrees if anyone can do it, it's him. With his athletic traits, ball instincts, and focused mindset, he has NFL playmaker written all over him, regardless of how he is used. So that gives you a spotlight into what NFL scouts are thinking about Travis Hunter. They think he can be a two-way player. Obviously, there's different opinions on if he's a wide receiver or a corner first. But it sounds like Travis Hunter is going to be a locked-in top five draft pick come April. Number two, I think this one was interesting, but he had Las Vegas Raiders selecting Cam Ward, the quarterback out of Miami. I agree with this first sentence, which is it might be tough for owner Mark Davis to pass on the Sanders name, which I agree with. I think Shedeur Sanders could be the pick there for the Raiders instead of Cam Ward, but his reasoning for Cam Ward. But Ward speaks the Raiders language with his ability to create explosive plays. Although his loose play style will sometimes lead to head-scratching moments, Ward has shown clear progress in his decision-making and placement, and his calm demeanor will help smooth his transition to NFL action. So that's what he's thinking about Cam Ward there. And then number three, the Giants select Shedeur Sanders, the quarterback out of Colorado. In one of the more polarizing draft classes we've seen, Sanders is arguably the most polarizing prospect. Some NFL teams have him graded as an adequate NFL starter, while others are more optimistic. I don't know how the Giants feel, but I do believe Brian Daboll can get the most out of Sanders in the NFL. So that's what he's thinking about there with Shedeur Sanders right now. Next up here, we're going to look at is going to be number four, which is the New England Patriots. They select offensive tackle, offensive guard, Will Campbell out of LSU. So we'll see here with what's going to happen there. It sounds like Will Campbell is probably going to be a guard. He has average arm length. He moves with fluidity, strength throughout his frame, projects as an immediate NFL starter at tackle, guard, maybe even center. So he's also thinking that maybe the Patriots, who, if you have not seen their cap room for next year, it is like $130+ million in cap room. So if there is a team who is the betting favorite right now to go out and sign a T. Higgins, it is the New England Patriots. Would I love to see the New England Patriots draft T. Higgins or sign T. Higgins and draft Teteroa McMillan? Hell yeah. But they also need some offensive line help, so I get this pick as well. Let's take a look at the next offensive player, which is going to be, we have to go all the way down to number 10. So a lot of defensive players there in Dane's top 10 after the top three. But Teteroa McMillan, who I just mentioned, goes to the Saints at number 10 to pair with Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed and Alvin Kamara, who they just gave a contract to. So that would be a big addition to the New Orleans Saints if they could pull this one off. To have Shaheed, Olave, and Teteroa McMillan, that would probably be one of the most dangerous wide receiver cores in the NFL if the Saints were able to pull that off. So I really like that pick, and I think Derek Carr's stock would rise a little bit. The Bears at 11, taking offensive tackle, offensive guard, Kelvin Banks Jr. He says some teams view Banks as a tackle, others see him as a guard. Personally, I think this is a tad early in round one for him, but the Bears need to add quality offensive linemen to the mix, and Banks could be a potential answer at several spots. So Kelvin Banks Jr., I have heard a little bit of differing opinions on him too, whether he's, you know, this elite tackle, best tackle in the class, or is he just, you know, more average? Could he have to kick down the guard too? So it looks like, you know, Dane's kind of seeing the same thing or hearing the same things that I did. So Kelvin Banks there to the Bears, though, they just need offensive line help, period. So Kelvin Banks, I think there is a good spot. Number 13, they have the Dallas Cowboys selecting Luther Burden III, the wide receiver out of Missouri. He wrote, and he's close to the Cowboys, so he wrote, the cries for Ashton Jeanty here will be loud, and it wouldn't be surprising if ultimately he is Dallas's pick. But the Cowboys also need more explosive options in the passing game, and the in-season trade for Jonathan Mingo won't prevent them from going receiver in round one. Despite a mediocre 2024 campaign, Burden is strong at the catch point and is best creating the ball in his hands. I could definitely see Burden being the pick here for Dallas. They definitely need some wide receiver help. Like, I don't think running back, like, Ashton Jeanty is out of this world prospect. Don't get me wrong. I love the guy. I just think Dallas has so many needs. Like, corner, defensive line, offensive line, safeties, like whatever it is, like Dallas needs some help at a lot of positions. So, but if they went wide receiver, I wouldn't mind that. Next offensive player up here is going to be the Rams at 17, taking Arante Arce, the offensive tackle from Minnesota. The Rams will need to look at their offensive tackle options this offseason, including the draft. Ursare doesn't have first-round consistency on his tape, but it isn't easy to find 335-pounders with movement skills and length. So I agree with that. I think the Rams could definitely upgrade that offensive line, and getting a 335-pound mammoth tackle would be a nice get for the Rams. Next offensive player up is the Seahawks, taking Jack Conley Jr., offensive tackle, Oregon. With Abe Lucas injured, right tackle has been a problem position for the Seahawks. Lucas will have the rest of the season to convince Seattle he can stay healthy and be the long-term answers. If he's not, the Seahawks will be looking to upgrade this offseason. A left tackle for the Ducks, Connerly has impressive feet and balance and a bright future ahead of him. So they think he can kick over to right tackle, too. It sounds like he could probably play both tackles. So Seahawks, yeah, they'd be looking to upgrade the offensive line, which has been a problem for them for quite a few years. Here we go. Washington Commanders at pick 21 select Ashton Jeanty, the running back out of Boise State. Him and Brian Robinson would make a hell of a 1-2 punch. Here's what he wrote on Jeanty. Jeanty is one of the best players in this draft class, full stop. But there aren't many obvious landing spots for a running back in the top 20, especially if Dallas passes. And I'm not projecting any trades in the mock draft this early in the process, which I get. Washington wouldn't be upset to see Boise State standout fall this far. I'll double check the NFL rule book, but a Jaden Daniels Genty backfield hardly seems fair. And I couldn't agree more. Those two together would be absolutely insane. If Ashton Genty went to Washington in the first round like this is projecting, I wouldn't be shocked if people take him number one overall over some of the quarterbacks in super flex leagues. I think that is definitely in the realm of possibility. Kind of like how people were taking Marvin Harrison Jr. First. 22, the Texans, Tyler Booker, guard from Bama. Texans need offensive line help. You got to protect CJ Stroud. So great pick there. 23, Denver Broncos. They take Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. Like Chicago, Washington, and a few other teams, Denver would be wise to continue upgrading around its rookie quarterback. A more athletic and versatile version of current Broncos tight end Adam Trautman. Warren is very much a Sean Payton type of tight end. He could play inline or the F role and would expand the Broncos playbook. I could definitely see this being a good pick, too, for Denver. I think if Genty fell to Denver, I think Genty's definitely in consideration here, too. But I would definitely think Denver, considering Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland at the top of their draft, could be something that could happen as well. Next one up here is going to be a very, very interesting one, and that is the LA Chargers selecting running back Caleb Johnson from Iowa, another running back going in the first round. I know me and Mike, who's a big Iowa fan, we would do backflips for this one. This would be an awesome pick for the Chargers. He says, Genty deserves every bit of praise he gets, but he isn't the only running back in this class who will be considered in the first round. Johnson is a well-put-together athlete who runs with equal amounts of power, patience, and quickness. Add in that he doesn't fumble and is reliable on passing downs, and you don't have to squint to see why Jim Harbaugh might go this direction. So I would love that pick if Caleb Johnson went there, and it would give the Chargers a little bit of a boost on offense and really give them somebody that they really want to invest in there and something I want to invest in fantasy. Next up is 28. The Vikings take Marcus Mabeau, offensive tackle guard from Purdue. He says, a prospect I expect to be a riser throughout the process, and Bo has impressive foot quickness and movement skills for his size, and his overall skill level continues to improve with each game. He might be able to stay at tackle in the NFL, but he projects really well on the interior, which is where the Vikings could use him. So Marcus Mabeau, another interesting athletic offensive lineman basically for the Vikings there, would like that pick. Philadelphia Eagles at 29, Cameron Williams, the tackle out of Texas. The Eagles selecting Amarius Mims last year would not have been surprising had he still been on the board where they picked in the first round. Although Williams is even more raw than Mims was, he is similar in his impressive traits, yet undeveloped discipline and lack of experience. A few semesters at Stoutland U is exactly what he needs to help realize his immense potential. So that could be a really good pick for the Eagles. And then that is it. So the rest of the picks were all defensive players in this draft. So it seems like it's kind of a lot more defensive players than I thought there would be in this first round, according to Dane Brugler. But we're going to have all offseason more to talk about that one. And then another one that I kind of wanted to go over is Trevor Sikkema's mock draft. He just did a 3-round mock draft on PFF. So just going to kind of give some of the highlights on this one. Not going to go through every single one with breakdowns. But he has Jacksonville, them taking Travis Hunter. So that's been a lot. Raiders picking 2, Giants picking 3. He has the Raiders taking Shadur here and the Giants taking Cam Ward. So that's been the flip-flop for a lot of people right now with the Giants and Raiders on who they're going to take. 4, he has the Patriots going Teteroa McMillan here. Would love that one. He has Kelvin Banks going to the Titans. That's a really good spot, too, with Callahan there with the Titans. He was the Browns' former offensive line coach, probably the best offensive line coach in the NFL right now. Let Callahan get his hands on a Kelvin Banks inside at guard or maybe at right tackle. I think that would be huge for the Titans. He has the Browns taking Will Campbell, the guy who can play guard or tackle right now. from LSU. Browns could definitely use that. Let's see here. He's got Ashton Jeanty to Dallas Cowboys. I mean, sure, but I just think they have so many other needs, to be honest. Arante Arise from Minnesota, the tackle, the big tackle going to the 49ers. Maybe a Trent Williams replacement. Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, going to Indy. I know I would hate that personally, the way that Indy uses their tight ends with this 4-5-way fuckfest they have every week. No thanks. Let's see. And then they have Cameron Williams, that tackle I was just talking about, to Seattle. Washington Commanders taking Luther Burden the third. That would be a really nice addition there for Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels. Wyatt Millam, a West Virginia tackle, going to the Texans. Colston Loveland to the Broncos at 23. Then he has a lot of defense. Okay, Josh Simmons, the tackle from Ohio State to the Chiefs. Simmons did get injured, so hopefully he'll be back and looking good. Gray Zabel, a offensive lineman from North Dakota State, goes to the Lions at 32. And then some second-round ones. So Jaguars take Emeka Ebuka at the top of the second round. The Raiders take Omarion Hampton, the running back out of North Carolina. So there's another running back that's up high. That would be an interesting one. He has Tyler Booker, who went in the first round in Dane's draft, going to the Patriots. Patriots could need offensive linemen badly. He has Jalen Milrow to the New York Jets at 38. The Titans take wide receiver Isaiah Bond. The Cleveland Browns select Quinshon Judkins, the running back from the Ohio State. So the Browns getting another running back there and Judkins. I would probably prefer Caleb Johnson, but, you know, Judkins is a really damn good player too. Jonah Savonene, guard for the Bears, going to the Bears. That'd be a good one. Let's see. Alec Aminor. Yes, Aminor. That's how you say it. Stanford, wide receiver, goes to the Carolina Panthers at 49. Tight end Gunnar Helm to the Falcons. That's an interesting pick with Kyle Pitts. Do they end up moving on from Kyle Pitts if they select a Gunnar Helm? Very interesting pick. Tate Ratledge, a guard from Georgia who's been hurt all year, goes to the Ravens. Then he has 57, the Chargers taking Caleb Johnson. So that's another Caleb Johnson to the Chargers pick. Steelers take Xavier Restrepo, the outstanding wide receiver for the Miami Hurricanes, slot receiver. Trey Harris to the Philadelphia Eagles would give them a big play threat. Running back Dylan Sampson to the Chiefs. If that happened, you know, he would shoot up the boards real quick. Donovan Jackson, a guard to Jacksonville in round three. Jack Beck, the wide receiver slash tight end from TCU to the Giants. Eli Stowers, a tight end going to the Jets. That would be interesting. They have Drew Allar falling to the Browns in the third round. That's interesting. Kyron Lacy, the wide receiver at LSU, to the Saints. That would be a big get for the Saints. Offensive tackle Marcus Mbeau to the Rams here in the third round. Dane had him in the first round, so big drop there. Josh Connerly Jr., tackle to Arizona from Oregon. He had him in his first round too, so interesting to see those guys so far apart. Commanders taking tight end Mason Taylor. I don't like that pick. They just took Ben Sinnott. I know Sinnott hasn't really done much yet this year, but then to double down and take Mason Taylor this high again, I don't like that pick. Charles Grant, an offensive lineman from William & Mary to the Texans. They need as many linemen as they can get. He has the Ravens taking running back Travion Henderson from the Ohio State. That would be an interesting one. Harold Fannin Jr., the tight end from Bowling Green to the Chargers. That would be a really good pick. I like that one. He has the Packers taking Kyle Monogene, the running back from Rutgers. That would be an interesting pick, especially since they just spent the same pick on Marshawn Lloyd last year. So don't like that. Kobe Hudson, wide receiver from UCF to the Eagles. Wide receiver Jalen Royals to the Lions. I would love that pick. That would be interesting. Miami Dolphins take Torrey Horton from Colorado State, who's been injured all year, but was considered like one of the top five receivers in the class. Evan Stewart, wide receiver from Oregon to San Fran. And then Bashaul Tuten, the running back from Virginia Tech to Minnesota. That would be a really interesting pick, too. So that kind of gives you guys some look into what some of these guys are thinking about right now as far as mock drafts, players that could be coming out. We're going to get a lot more declarations as we go, too. But really, really interesting mock drafts there for everybody. So appreciate all you guys tuning in. As always, hopefully you had a good holiday. Hopefully you guys continue in your fantasy playoffs here, man. It is crunch time now. It is time to go get those final trades done, fix up those rosters, get all that dead weight off your rosters, and let's go win a fantasy championship, guys. So appreciate everybody listening in at Eric Vanek NFL, at America's Game Pod, at South Harmon FF. Follow us all there. I really, really appreciate it if you guys gave us a follow. But until next week, we will see you guys for episode number 72.